Good morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come here and talk to you about our topic, oral health and access to care among persons with a disability. I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators, Brian Armour and Alyssa Cyrus, who are with me in the, who work with me in the Division of Human Development and Disability at CDC. I have nothing to disclose. Just very briefly, some information about oral health background, and I will, you know, claim up front, I am not an oral health subject matter expert. My area of research is among adults with disability, but what we do know is that oral health is really key to overall general health and well-being. We also know that it's associated with heart and lung disease, stroke, diabetes, all of which can also be associated with disability. Oral health includes, but of course is not limited to, just access to and obtaining dental care, healthy hygiene behaviors, and we know it's also affected by other health behaviors, including smoking and nutrition. And as of 2010, approximately $108 billion was spent on dental care in the U.S. Turning to a little bit of background on disability, some information about disability, we do know that about 1 in 5 U.S. adults have been identified with a disability, and this translates to roughly 54 million people. As recently as 2006, disability healthcare-related expenditures were around $400 billion a year in the U.S., and this is combination of public and private payer. Defining disability can be a little bit tricky. In fact, there's over 60 federal definitions alone of disability. A lot of those are tied to work-related disability and certain benefits. But the definition we're using for disability is really consistent with how it's defined in the Americans with Disabilities Act, which considers disability as a person's functioning interacting with the environment and how that affects their participation. And we've turned to a report that was released from the National Center for Health Statistics titled Disability and Health in the United States. It was released in 2008. And that's our working definition for disability, which I'm going to explain on the next slide. So this considers disabilities having sort of two primary components, both basic actions difficulty and complex activity limitation. So basic actions difficulty is comprised of movement difficulty, which is difficulty in sitting, standing, walking, climbing stairs, reaching overhead, grasping small items. So it's a number of movement-related tasks. Sensory, which is both hearing and vision, emotional and cognitive difficulty. And complex activity limitation is comprised of self-care limitation, which would be anything from difficulty with bathing, dressing, grooming, up to such activities as going out into the community or leaving the house, money management, meal preparation, those types of things. It also includes work and social limitation. So what do we know about oral health and among people with disability now? We do know that people with a disability are less likely to receive oral health care in general. We know this can be true among elderly adults that may have limited access to oral health care due to a number of reasons, including cost, functional limitations, which could be related to a disability, as well as other health issues. And in a paper that was done by one of my co-authors, Brian Armour, using BRFSS data, they found that people with a self-reported disability were more likely to report tooth loss, as well as being less likely to report having seen a dentist in the last year. Other research has found that caregivers report that about 60% of adults with a developmental disability may have oral health problems, and we also know that adults and children with an intellectual disability may have poor dental health and also have a lack of access to preventive services. Oral health problems have also been identified as a secondary condition among people with disability. So it's a condition that may be related to the disability or occurring after the disability, but it's not the primary disabling condition. So what we wanted to try and answer, what we wanted to explore, and this is some sort of preliminary exploratory analysis I'm going to be presenting this morning, is does oral health care and access to oral health care differ by type of disability? And what factors may limit access to oral health care? And these are all self-reported factors. So to try and help answer our questions, we turn to the 2008 National Health Interview Survey. And I'm going to go over a little bit of information about the survey for those of you who may not be familiar with it. It's an in-person household survey that's conducted by the National Center for Health Statistics. It includes a core set of questions that are asked of all family or household members, and then the one random child and one random adult from that household are selected to receive additional questions about their health, health behavior, health status. In 2008, an oral health supplement was included in the sample adult questionnaire, and that's why we're looking at 2008 data. The disability questions that we're using, and it's a total of over 30 questions that are included in both the family questionnaire as well as the sample adult questionnaire used to define disability. And in 2008, 21,781 adults completed the sample adult questionnaire. So I have here just sort of a list of general topic areas that were of the questions that were asked in the oral health supplement that was administered in the NHIS in 2008. Not all of them we've looked at for this analysis. It was about 13 pages of questions, so we have selected what we felt were, at least for some preliminary analysis, what were the most salient questions and presenting what were some very salient findings today. So what we did is obtain prevalence estimates for some select indicators stratifying by disability and type of disability. We age-adjusted our estimates. We typically age-adjust most estimates looking at health effects among people with disability because of the age distribution among people with a disability. It's more prevalent as age increases. We used SAS-callable Sudan, and we also weighted the data to account for the complex sampling design of the NHIS. So on the first slide, I'm showing you the prevalence of disability as well as all those component parts that I had discussed earlier, basic actions, difficulty, and complex activity limitation. So about 33% of adults were identified as having any disability, and this would have been having at least one of the types of disability that are in the table below. When we look at the basic actions difficulty, the largest percentage was among movement difficulty, a little over 20% of adults reported having a movement difficulty. To about slightly over 3% of adults reported having an emotional or cognitive difficulty. Looking at the complex activity limitations, the highest was work limitation at 12.1%, and the lowest was activities of daily living, which would be more basic self-care tasks such as bathing, dressing, getting out of bed, that type of thing. That was at 2%. And I do want to note that none of these categories are mutually exclusive, so respondents can be in more than one category. So the first question we looked at was the respondents were asked how they felt what they felt the condition of their mouth was. And we looked at the percentage of respondents reporting that the condition of their mouth was fair or poor, and this was their self-perceived condition of their mouth. You can see when we look at disability, no disability, 37.6% of adults with a disability compared to 18.5% of adults without a disability reported that the condition of their mouth was fair or poor. On the left-hand side of the slide, I've got BAD is basic actions difficulty and CAL is complex activity limitation. So just to give you a sense of when we look at the two component parts of disability, what the estimates were there. We stratified by type of disability. You can see among the types of complex activity limitations, it was pretty consistent across the board between 45 and 48%. When we looked at the basic actions difficulty, there was about 53, or for adults reporting an emotional or cognitive difficulty, over 50% of them reported that they felt the condition of their mouth was fair or poor. Adults were also asked how often they felt self-conscious or embarrassed by the condition of their mouth, their teeth, or their dentures. We found just by looking at disability, no disability, adults with a disability were over twice as likely to report that they often or sometimes felt self-conscious or embarrassed. So 21.9% of adults with a disability compared to 9.4% of adults without a disability. And stratifying by type of disability, we saw a little bit more variation here. So higher estimates definitely jumped out for adults with an ADL limitation, social limitation, and consistent with the previous question we looked at, we found the highest estimates among adults with an emotional or a cognitive difficulty. Now, there were a couple questions that are asked in the core sample adult questionnaire of the NHIS. So these should be asked separate from the supplement. And I've included them in here because I thought they definitely were applicable to what we were looking at. And respondents were asked how long it had been since their last dental visit. And what we've did is just give the frequency, and you can see the distribution of, or the distribution of the frequency of estimates. So adults without a disability, about 46% reported it had been in the last 6 months compared to 37.2%. What you found interesting here is once you go to 6 to 12 months on up to never, it's almost a stair step down among people with a disability. When we look at people without a disability, when we looked at the answers or the distribution for people with a disability, we found it was pretty consistent from 6 to 12 months, 1 to 2 years, 2 to 5 years. It stayed fairly steady and actually jumped up quite a bit to nearly close to 20% of adults with a disability reporting that it had been more than at least 5 years since their last dental visit. Similar estimates for never, those are both very low at about just 1%. Respondents were also asked if they had experienced, and this is within the past 6 months, any of the self-reported oral health problems. I won't read the list, but you can see what they each was a separate question and asked if they experienced this within the past 6 months. And what we did was to add them together because of the sample sizes were so small to stratify type of disability. We just added them together. We found, looking at the total number of problems they had reported in the last 6 months, people without a disability were more likely to report zero than were people without a disability. When we looked at each category, the estimates for adult with a disability were higher, so more likely to report 1 to 3 than were people with a disability. Higher estimates reporting 4 to 6 than were people without a disability and so forth. Looking at just reporting one problem within the past 6 months, you can see again much higher across the board among type of disability, highest for people with an emotional difficulty and also social limitation. Also asked in the core set of question was if they were not able to afford dental care in the past year. You can see people with a disability about almost 2.5 times as likely to report that they were not able to afford dental care within the past year compared to people without a disability. And again, stratifying by type of disability, we found consistent with some of the other findings, people with an emotional difficulty, cognitive difficulty, had the higher estimates, and also in this particular instance, people with the social limitation more likely to report that they could not afford dental care in the past year. All of them, again, higher than people without a disability. So for the respondents that reported they had had an oral health problem for the past 6 months and reported they did not seek care, they were asked why. And we saw some interesting findings here. People without a disability were more likely to report that the problem was, they didn't feel the problem was important or the problem went away. In contrast, people with a disability were more likely to report they couldn't afford treatment, they didn't have transportation, or they were afraid of a dentist, and there were no significant differences for waiting for an appointment or didn't think it would solve a problem. So our overall findings, we found that people with disabilities were more likely to report the condition of their mouth as fair or poor compared to people without disabilities. They felt more likely to report that they felt self-conscious or embarrassed by their mouth, teeth, or dentures. They were also more likely to report having any dental-related problems. And people, we also found, in general, people with emotional or cognitive difficulty had the highest prevalence above, and we also found that people with disabilities were more likely to report such issues as cost, lack of transportation, or fear as reasons they may not have sought care. Limitations to our data. All our data is self-report, and in some instances, some of the disability information could potentially be from the report of a family member. All our data is cross-sectional, so we don't have any information on duration, severity, or permanence of disability, and there are causality issues. I know there's been research showing that people that may have poor oral health condition may feel that can also impact their emotional well-being. So there can definitely be some causality issues here in terms of the emotional difficulty, in particular that we may not be able to tease out in this particular analysis. The sample size, while we had 21,000 respondents, was still small for breaking it down into some of the questions. This only included community-dwelling individuals and did not control for any additional factors that may contribute to some of the differences we found. And in fact, what we'd like to do is do some further research to really help address some of these issues that contribute to the differences among between people with and without disabilities. We do find that barriers to oral health care are greater for people with disabilities while they should have access to oral health care. And we hope that providers can maybe know, hopefully, these type of analyses can help to for people to understand the differences among oral health by type of disability. Thank you.